What's up, beer drinkers? How y'all doing this week? Oh, we got another great show for you again this week. Not only do we drink and review some delicious beers, but we also have a slight interruption, a cameo, if you will, by one of our kids. So you'll have to wait and see. And I apologize for the tardiness of this show, but, you know, life gets in the way sometimes. And the show is, I don't know, second or third banana in my bunch. is that an analogy? Whatever the case, it's not a top priority in my life, but it is a fun part of my life, so that's why I keep doing it. I go over a little bit this week on what was going on in my life, and then next week's show I'll explain a lot more in detail. But anyway, don't forget to follow us on Untappd and Instagram. Search Cold Brew Podcast. And if you want, I also have my own individual account, Cold Brew Greg. Kind of slowed down the last couple of weeks, but I still give you something every once in a while. So if you want to follow me on there, I appreciate that. And let's get to the show, shall we? Wait, that's not how I end this segment. It's usually, and without further ado, it's time for another Cold Brew. Coming at you pre-recorded from Cold Brew Studios, I am Greg, he is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we're here to talk about beer.
Yes, we are.
How you doing this week, man?
Not bad. I'm still shaking the flu bug I got. Had like a little setback relapse, if you will.
Oh, shit.
But I told you how my daughters were sick the previous week. So yeah. It was one of those bugs that actually got to me and my wife.
Oh, man. Stay her too, kids, huh?
So. Yeah.
Yeah. So how are the kids doing? Because that's more important.
Well, they're fine.
Okay. Good.
They're fine. That's wrong. They're fine and full of energy, so they're just in there. You know, it's nonstop, dude.
Yeah.
It's like a jet, right? There's either light thrust or full thrust. You know, there's nothing. Forget brakes.
Well, the only brakes is when they fall asleep. You're like, finally, they fall asleep.
Exactly.
Right on. Yeah, so my week's been pretty crazy. Our parents are here. They came down to visit because my daughter's having surgery tomorrow. We were recording this on a Sunday. And we've had a good couple the last couple days. And and then tomorrow is the surgery. I am a little nervous, you know. I have to admit, even though it's like a 90 to 95% success rate, it's still... You just don't want to have your kid to have to go through anything like this, you know?
Definitely. I mean, there's no... First of all, yeah, I hope everything goes well. Just the whole need for the surgery is upsetting. And then, yes, highly skilled and trained doctors are doing it. However, you know, it on the other side, there's good chances at the same time. There's always that... What if it doesn't work?
Yeah, that 5% chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But anyway, I will talk more about it next week after everything's successful. I'm a little show.
It's yeah.
There you go. Maybe I'm a little superstitious that way. But
yeah. I get you.
Yeah. Because our listeners are probably wondering what the fuck's going on.
You already shared a lot more than I would have.
Okay. So, yeah. Anyway. All right. But this is a show about beer. So let's get to the beer, shall we?
Yes.
All right. So I have in front of me from our good friends up in Chicago, Illinois. Once again, Hop Butcher for the World. I will admit this week I got a little lazy and I didn't go out to the beer store. This is one of the ones I bought from last week, but I didn't have it on the show last week. It wasn't the same one. It was just because it's from the same purchase order, I guess you can call it. Another Hop Butcher from the World. But this one is called... Reply Hazy, Try Again. And it's a purple can with a sketch drawing of the 8-ball. Remember the 8-ball? Like David Putty? Yeah. Anyway, so Reply Hazy, Try Again is a double hazy IPA. or double New England IPA with Citra, Motueka, and Simcoe hopped double IPA, and it is a 7.5% alcohol by volume. So without further ado, pop off. What do you got?
I have a beer from our good friends at 21st Amendment Brewery. They have their Imperial Golden Toasted Ale called Find Your Fortune.
Ooh, nice. Wow. Imperial Golden Toasted Ale. I don't think I've ever heard of a category or that beer category before. That's interesting.
Right. So here's where the Imperial is. It's a 7.5% alcohol like by volume. Yeah. 35 IBUs. It is described with a lick of luck, a sip of chance, and a touch of serendipity. The possibilities are endless. Don't waste precious time waiting for fortunes to load. Savor the flavor of rich toasted sesame and vanilla with a kiss sweetness and creamy finish. Your fortune is what you make of it, starting with one sip at a time. So the malts are Two Row, Pale, Victory, and Wheat. The hops are Cascade. Special ingredients are toasted sesame seeds, vanilla, and lactose.
Very nice.
So any further ado, Papa.
Fortune and glory, Dr. Jones. Fortune and glory. Very nice. All right, so mine's really good. This is a nice... I'm saying, like, for all of you hopheads out there, the people who like IPAs, if you can get your hands on some Hop Butcher for the world, please do so. They brew a very excellent IPA. This one is... the same as far as, you know, in line with all the other IPAs. It's got a tropical fruitiness to it, plus a little bit of like a citric zest to it, a little bit. I'm catching on the back end, and it's a super sweet. I shouldn't say super sweet. It's not like it has sugar in it, but just because of the high malt content, it does have a perception of sweetness to it. So it's sweet, it's tropical, zesty, fruity. It's really good. It's smooth too. I gotta say, it's really smooth. So yeah, I'm gonna rate this one pretty high later on during our untapped portion of the show. How's your 21%? Or 21%?
Hold on, someone's here.
Okay.
Say hi, Pio Greg. You hear that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Come on. Say hi, Pio Greg.
Hi, Pio Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, dear Greg.
Hi. What time is it over there? Shouldn't you be asleep?
Yeah, but I need to go potty.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't forget to wash your hands.
I'll be right back. I gotta go potty.
Okay. Okay, so that was awesome. But but seriously though, how's your beer?
Well, it's good. It's different. It's very, very different. I can't quite place the flavor. I know it's a toasted sesame seed and vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
However, just an Imperial Golden Ale. That's it's a little bit different breed of animal by itself,
right?
Let alone with the extra ingredients. It's sweet. It's got that vanilla is definitely kicking through. I'd say the dominant part. Not too hoppy. Like I said, the IBUs were 35. Yeah. But it's got like a nice little hop note on it too. It's not just a malt forward golden sweet beer.
Yeah.
It's got a little balance to
good
it.
Good balance, yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Which is what Imperials are, right? They kick up everything, and sometimes more stuff comes through than in the past or
than the single version, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. So we will rate our beers later on during our untapped portion of the show. Don't forget to follow us on Untappd, search Cold Brew Podcast, and friend us, and we'll friend you back. But right now, it is time for some beer news. All right, so in my ultimate wisdom and I did read a couple articles, so, but I really didn't vet this one too hard, but I really like the headline. So we're going to talk about this one. This comes to us from Chow Hound, but written by Henna Bakshi. Why Costco's Kirkland brand light beer completely failed. Not just failed, but completely failed. So if you're a Costco shopper, you know the perks. You shop in bulk and you pay wholesale for everything from food, clothes, appliances, and even diamonds. Over the years, Costco's signature alcohol selection has gotten rave reviews for flavor and price. Kirkland's signature brand vodkas are well-loved, and Costco Scotch is even sourced from Scottish immigrant-owned distilleries. But it all came tumbling down when Kirkland released and soon discontinued its signature light beer. It was sold in 48 count cases for about 50 cents a can, totaling $22 plus tax. The light beer was 4.2% ABV. Sounds like
Megan's. That's nice. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. I'm saying that's pretty nice for a light beer right there, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, it's right there. It's right there with all the other ones. Sounds like a mega savings, right? But as soon as you took a look at the nearly 10,000 ratings on Untappd, a beer review, look for it right now. The Kirkland brand light beer, just so we can get the ratings on Untappd, because I don't think it has it on here. But as soon as you look at the nearly 10,000 ratings on Untappd, a beer review platform, you'll see measly a couple stars out of five that many people gave it. The beer was discontinued in 2018, but even now people are bitter about it. Scathing reviews on Beer Advocate giving the beer a poor rating, with customers calling it water, not beer. It is a shame they even put the word beer on the can. Very bad beer, and one topping off all the insults by saying it tastes like battery acid. Are you on Untappd right now?
Okay, two things. I got Kirkland Signature Light and Kirkland Signature Light Beer Batch 2. And then I got Kirkland Signature Hard Seltzer Lime. Come on, Untappd. Get seltzers off this app. Come on. You could have their own app for them.
Yeah, right? Okay, so not the year one, but what is the other one at?
Okay, one of them is at 2.04, and then the batch 2 is at 2.15.
Wow, so that one's just a slightly better batch. So that's bad. I don't know if I've ever had Kirkland brand light beer. Have you? Do you know? Have you ever
no,
tried it?
I could hands up say no. I've never had that.
Okay. Yeah,
and not that I'm a snob, but just, I've never seen it. You know, a lot of this stuff isn't in every area. I hate to break people's hearts, or if it is, it's like, you know, they got half a pallet and it was gone. And like, I don't even go to. I don't even have a Costco card. You know, my wife goes so.
Oh, okay. She doesn't trust you with that.
Yes, pretty much. No, that's a different story in itself. But yeah, so yeah, I go to Costco maybe like twice a year on a good year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I go all the time. It's right down the street from me. It's like 5 minutes away.
Right.
But I don't buy beer again, from there.
Yeah, again, I'm not anti Costco because like I said, my wife, she goes for us and gets stuff. I mean, It's a good deal if you know what you need.
Because she's afraid you're just gonna come back with chicken wings and beer.
Well, pretty much.
Okay. All right, I got one more story one more news article from the New York Post. I don't often read from the New York Post. It's usually like VinePair, right? That's like our main source. And good beer hunting, a few other ones, but yeah, this one comes to us from the New York Post.
Can I say a snarky joke?
Sure.
I don't read the New York Post. I color the New York Post.
What was that one? Was it Top Secret? The one that Krause is a moron and believes the only things he reads in the New York Post.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Top Secret. Yeah.
All right. Written by Brooke Cato. Brewery launches pizza-flavored beer with notes of crispy crust, tangy tomato sauce. And it's not even April Fool's yet, so this must be real. New Belgium Brewing Company has teamed up with the frozen pizza brand Tombstone to create iPizza A. It's IPA with the parentheses pizza in the middle. A pie-flavored brew. While it may seem like an unlikely duo, grabbing a slice and a pint is every classic bar's bread and butter. After all, people already make pizza dough with beer. But I mean, you have to admit, a pizza and a beer is a fucking awesome combo, right?
Definitely.
You think pizza beer, burger beer, nachos beer, hot wings beer, or is it more of a subjective thing? Or is there an ultimate combo?
Oh, ultimate combo? Ooh. Yeah, it is subjective too, because it depends on the, well, both the beer, you know,
the consumer.
First of all, the right combo,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't want to be drinking pizza and beer what do I want to say?
Like you don't want a barrel aged bourbon stout with a meat lover's pizza. It's not a. There's better combos than
maybe
that.
You do, but yeah, no, you can combo it right. But like I wouldn't do like a stout with wings. There's no way.
Yeah,
I mean that's just not me. I like when I have, you know, that's the thing. I rarely drink beer with a meal. I kind of just like it by itself.
I'd
rather have like a soft drink to slam if I need a palate cleanser.
That's
or even water.
That's a good point. And you have mentioned that on the show before, and I forgot about it till you brought it up. Yeah, you don't like to drink a lot of, especially something that you want to like really savor. I know you've talked about that before. That makes sense.
I mean, but then too, I mean, if it's simple, if it's the, bring it back to Costco. If it's just like the Kirkland pizza, yeah, just chill, get a macro beer. I mean, you're definitely not being, a gourmet critic by any means. You're just enjoying some of the, I guess, simple pleasures of life when you're at that point too.
Yeah,
which in its own right is just as good as any meal, you know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, this is and this not only is it New Belgium, but it's also a part of the Voodoo Ranger series. According to the website, boozers, this person probably wrote boozers. Beer drinkers will get hints of crispy crust, tangy tomato sauce, and savory herbs and spices while sipping on the 7% limited edition Voodoo Ranger IPA made specifically for the boldest of beer and pizza lovers. The finishing pepperoni kick of heat that will make you reach for another slice or another pint, the brewery company's site reads. Just to go off on a slight tangent, Pizza Hut is partnering with a LA-based bagel company, and they're going to start releasing pizza bagels.
Oh, geez.
I know, right? I felt my waistline bulge just by saying that. Anyway, so yeah, so pizza beer, Voodoo Ranger's getting into the pizza beer. You know, when you talk about experimental beers, it's hardly ever like the larger microbreweries. It's usually like the nano breweries. Like the first one that comes to mind is Martin House down in Texas. They have all those weird flavored beers, like the not just the pickle beer, but like the ranch beer, the mac and cheese beer. Voodoo Ranger is jumping on the weird beer series with their Voodoo Ranger Tombstone IPizza. All right, that's all I got. So that means it's time for everyone's favorite segment on Cold Brew, because it's my favorite segment. It's time for the Cold Brew List. As we proceed
to give you what you need. Let me ask you this. Are you ready for March Madness?
Ooh.
Let me ask you this. What's a mid-major?
Oh, a mid-major? that's like a program that's not really like a top echelon, but it's not like you barely made it in.
Right. That means, well, mid-major, so they're a mid-level team in a major conference. So in theory, okay, if they played outside of their conference, they'll probably win. You know, they could beat up a lot of other teams, but in their own home, mm-hmm, they're not the top dogs.
Right.
Okay, but all that aside, I just have a list, and I just thought it'd be interesting. This kind of shows where a program is at too, because this is a list of the best college basketball arenas.
Oh, okay. And that's funny you said that, because I was watching some of the conference championships, and you notice like where they're playing, like, wow, this place looks like a high school basketball court, and this other place, and it's got like nobody there, but it looks like a pro style arena.
Exactly. I mean, I don't want to get into which college teams I've been to and stuff like that, but the ones around here, the gymnasiums, although they're nice, they're not like the big ones you see on TV.
Right.
Far from the pros.
Yeah.
So in honor of a lot of people's most popular and favorite term, mm-hmm, I will do 16 in honor of the Sweet 16.
Very nice.
All right. So number 16 is the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York. Mm. That's home of Syracuse University.
Makes sense.
Number 15, Mizzou Arena in Missouri, USA.
Very nice.
Number 14, here's an interesting name, The Pit.
Oh, that is New Mexico. That's a great name.
Yeah. It's in New Mexico, home of the University of New Mexico Fighting Mexicans.
That's not their name, is it really?
No, I'm just
the Fighting New Mexicans.
Yes. Wow. What if they totally PC and correct the, what are the old Mexican killers?
Shit. New Mexico. I'm gonna have to look. Is it New Mexico State or just New Mexico University?
It's University of New Mexico.
Okay. I now I have to know what.
Which, yeah. Our kids could never go to that school now. Joke for two.
Oh, the Lobos.
Oh, that's right.
I almost said that, but I'm like, no, that's like Nevada or Nevada State, right, or something like that.
No, Nevada, University of Nevada, Reno is the Wolfpack.
Wolfpack,
but yeah,
okay.
They kind of look the same.
All right.
Okay. Now, number 13. Number 13, Hilton Coliseum, Iowa State University.
The Hilton, huh? All right. They're staying at the Hilton.
All right. Four Seasons and everything. Here's one. Number 12 is the KFC Yum Center.
That's
and there a isn't a name. There's an exclamation point after the Yum, by yep, the way.
The Yum Brands. Yum Brands owns like KFC and fucking everything, right? Like Pepsi and anyway.
What PepsiCo own Taco Bell and KFC and Pizza Hut and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I think they sold them all to Yum because they're like, they wanted to corner like the stoner market, and they're like, these markets are totally different.
Gotcha.
Or the industries anyway.
Anyway, that's at a University of Louisville plays there.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, the Dean Smith Center, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. University of North Carolina. So that's a big program right there. And Dean Smith was their legendary coach.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11. I'm sure it's nice. That's the thing. It doesn't say it might be an older university or facility too.
Yeah.
So maybe it's keeping it down. Because that's the thing too. I don't know if they actually built a new one or just named it after him too. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Renamed it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I didn't know this.
Hmm.
Number 10, a little building called the Madison Square Garden, Manhattan, New York City, New York, home of St. John's University.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they do play there. And MSG is like the mecca for pro, but they're only like number 7 in the college.
And
yeah.
Okay.
Wow. It's crazy. I know St. John's is in New York and all that. I just kind of thought that they would have their own facility.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. The only St. John's player I know that went to the NBA, I'm sure there's been, you know, dozens or hundreds, but Chris Mullin was the St. John's.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bay Area native, but there's been a few. Oh, man. No, I think he was on Mac. He was either on McAfee or Rappaport. He had a bomb-ass interview with them. I mean, he was telling all these crazy New York streetball stories and not just New York streetball stories, but like, you know, like high school and college rivalries too. On basically just with New York guys. It's crazy.
That's, yeah. Forward me that.
I'll find that for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was pre-crazy Rappaport, not current Rappaport. So it's probably a few months old.
Okay.
Number 9, the Cinta Center. Ohio, USA. They don't say what school plays there. I would assume it would be the University or Ohio State.
Hold on, Cintas Center, like the uniform company. Cintas Center is in. Oh, I spelled Cintas wrong. My bad. Or you know what? It go ahead. Keep going.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. Cincinnati. So the Bearcats play there.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. They're a good program.
Yeah.
Here's one. The CenturyLink Center in Vassar City, Louisiana.
Ooh. Oh, okay. So, yeah, way down there, the LSU Tigers, right?
Well, I guess so. This one doesn't have a school affiliated with it. Right. Number 7 is the WVU Coliseum, West Virginia University.
Oh, okay.
Is there. Number 6. Oh, here you go. Your neck of the woods. The McHale Center, Tucson, Arizona. University of Arizona.
Yeah, and they have a good program this year.
They show up in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5. The Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana, home of Butler University. Number 4, Assembly Hall in Bloomington, Indiana, home of Indiana University.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, little interstate rivalry there.
Yep.
Number 3, Cameron Indoor Arena Stadium, North Carolina, home of Duke.
Duke, yeah.
Number 2, the Mackey Arena in Indiana, in West Lafayette, home of the Purdue Boilermakers.
Oh yeah, they're one of the favorites to win the whole thing, even though they lost the conference championship. Fucking dumbasses! I lost money on them. Go ahead.
Yeah. Number 1 is the Allen Fieldhouse, Kansas, home of the University of Kansas, the Jayhawks.
The Jayhawks. I like when they call it the Fieldhouse. It makes it seem like very retro or vintage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing, too. It's not like an arena for, like, sports and music or tractor pulls or whatever. It's like, no, it's just a building. Just a building out in the middle of nowhere, and we play basketball there. You know, it's kind of like.
In the middle of the field, there's a house there, so we can play basketball.
Yes. There's a house in
Indiana. Nice. Do you have any feel like for this year's NCAA tournament? Like as far as like who's gonna win, or are you like really not that tied into college basketball until this time rolls around? Like most of us and me.
Yeah, I have no idea who's. I mean, I recognize some of the popular big name programs, the chalk, if you will, but yeah. I don't know exactly what to expect or, you know, Styles make fights, right? I don't know whose game matches up well versus whose and whatnot.
Yeah, dude, I was watching the Auburn Florida game today, and like in the first, like, I don't know, like 1 or 2 minutes, one of the Florida Gators jumped up for a rebound, came down, and it looked like he rolled his ankle, but there was blood on the court. So it must have been a compound fracture of his lower, like, fibula, tibula. That was rough. And Auburn ended up winning. I actually, hold on, I'm going to send you the, I took video of the screen, and it is really quick. Yeah, that was rough. I've been watching a lot more college basketball just because of the, because I've been betting on some of it. But even before then, I would never really pay attention to college basketball until this time of the year. And I have you ever done one of those bracket things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to do one this year or nah?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought about it too. I sent you the video. Do you got it?
No, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, just watch it. It's like a 4-second video, but watch the white boy. Look at his left ankle.
Oh, yeah. Hey, why'd you send me that? Some bad luck looking at somebody. Because
I watched it like 5 or 6 times. No, you know, I was watching it live, right? And like, like right after it happened, like everything went quiet. I'm like, oh, okay. And then like after about like 25, 30 seconds, like I didn't hear anything. I had to like turn up the volume on my TV. Like the commentators weren't saying anything. The arena was fucking deathly quiet. I'm like, what the fuck happened? And it turned out, and then they said there was blood on the floor. I'm like, oh, this guy had a compound fracture of his, either his ankle or his lower tibia or fibia or something like that. Crazy. That sucks, man. His parents were there too. They showed him. His mom was all upset. His dad was keeping it in because it was in front of like 20,000 people. But man, anyway.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, especially you know, the only consolation is you know, the as athletic as they are too, they're so young in many ways too. So he can recover and still have a decent I don't know how many years he plans to stay at school or the senior or not, but you know, he could overcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you know, if that was us, you know, we'd be in a wheelchair the rest of our lives. So.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
If we could afford one. Hey.
I know, right? At least we get the good parking.
All right, man. Let's keep it going. How's your beer treating you?
What? Good. It is. It's holding up. It's sweet. It's got, yeah, it's got some interesting notes to it. I, you know, I guess my only criticism is, you know, when I get a golden ale, I expect a little bit more of a crushable beer, where this one, you got some strong flavors there that, I mean, yeah, you know, anyone could pound any beer if they really wanted to. Right.
But, right. Yeah.
This one has a lot more boldness going on for it.
Hmm. All right, so we will rate our beers right now on Untappd. I remember it was 21st Amendment, but I forgot what it was called. I know it was a Golden Toasted Ale, but
it's called Find Your Fortune.
Oh yeah, Oh, there it is. So what would you like to rate this beer at? Seems like a very unique, like you don't have anything else to compare it to.
Definitely.
So what's your rating?
I'm going to give it a 3.75.
Okay, nice.
Because although my criticism about like it's not a crushable beer, but it's an imperial, and in that style, it does fit that. You know, a lot of boxes are getting checked for the other way of what it is, not what I expected. So I can't hate on it.
Okay. What notes would you like to leave it? Can't hate on it?
Sweet, strong, and balanced.
Strong, and balanced. Very nice. Save and check in. Let me close all these pinche boxes and go back to it so I could tell you that it has an overall rating of 3.62. None of our friends have rated it as of this moment. So you gave it a little cold brew bump. I had by Hop Butcher from the World, their Reply Hazy, Try Again. I like this one, man. I like this one a lot. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I was about to say 4.6, but we don't no longer have the tenths. So I have to give it a 4.5. Let me look it up real quick. And I'm going to say Reply Hazy, Try. Oh, there it is. Came up. Right now, it's overall rated at 4.22. So I gave it a small bump. Three of our friends have rated it for an average of 4.33. Kane M gave it a 4.25. Eric Stump gave it a 4.25. Jason M gave it a 4.5. So me and Jason M are right on. We're simpatico. 4.5. And I'm going to say it is smooth and juicy. Save and check in. Hey, so you and I grew up together, so I kind of know. I was about to ask you, did you ever have an 8-ball? I know we played with 8-balls. I don't think we ever had an 8-ball, but did you like the whole novelty of the 8-ball, like guessing your future thing, or did you think it was stupid?
Oh, that kind of 8-ball. Yeah.
You're making me choke, dude.
No. Yeah, I thought they were cool. I thought they were neat. I mean, I realized now that how impractical and
stupid. And,
yeah. Cheesy they are. So. Yeah, but I grab one and check it every now and then to see what the response would be.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I always like in the movies when they had an 8-ball, like, in the scene. It's usually comedies, right? And they shake it up and they say something stupid, like something that wouldn't even be in the 8-ball, but the props department made it the punchline for the joke.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
about. Oh, man. Yeah, the baseball season the spring training is halfway through. And I got to say, man, that baseball cap that you gave me that some of our listeners probably follow me on Untappd, my new Instagram profile. Great hat, man. Fucking love that hat. I'm not a baseball cap person, but I will definitely wear it next time I go to a spring training game. So speaking of baseball, what's up with the A's, man? Are they going to Las Vegas? Or are they going to? I know they're wandering around this year. Are they going to be? Where are they going to play this year? First off, where are the A's going to play? And do you think they'll relocate to Vegas eventually?
To answer, let's go second question first. Okay. I believe so.
Okay.
I think things are set in motion, even though there's been some backlash and stuff like that. Second. Question is, I have no idea right now.
Really?
I'm assuming the Coliseum. Yeah, I'm assuming the Coliseum, but I heard that they might play like in Sacramento or I forgot some other. I said Sacramento, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're going to play the whole season there or like split it up, but as far as I know, it should be the Coliseum. I don't have any game tickets yet, but yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of very off-putting to not know the situation of a team that may leave, or I don't know. Right. I don't know if any Raider fans could still reach out and let me know how to feel.
They They got like 15 days left to figure it out, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Colosseum. I gotta know. It's a Colosseum.
All right. But anyway, it's crazy, man. The A's. I feel bad because the A's, like as a franchise, is I think they're more beloved than they are hated in the whole scheme of things, right?
That's fair to say.
Yeah, they're not like the Dodgers or the Yankees. That's a great question. Maybe you'll come up with a list next week. But which Major League Baseball teams are the most hated? If you were to hazard a guess, like your top three or five, you know, your Mount Rushmore most hated Major League Baseball teams, who would you say?
I don't know. The Astros still get a lot of heat, right?
I forgot about those guys. Yeah, I guess so, because of the garbage can scandal.
You know what I do see? Yeah, I'm on the website right now, and yeah, they're playing at the Coliseum.
Oh, okay, good for them.
For now.
For me, I would say it's the Dodgers, the Yankees, probably. Well, dude,
don't bury the lead next week. No, it's fine.
These are our guesses. I'm sure they're in the top five. But for me, it'd be the Dodgers. Dodgers are number one because I'm a Giants fan, I would say. I think Yankees. And then, yeah, I guess maybe the Astros because of the recent events, the current events. And then number four would be the... I don't know. I'm just going to say the Braves.
I could see that. I would also say, like, the Red Sox, like all the high spending teams, you know.
Yeah, the only reason
all the high payroll teams.
The only reason I say the Braves is because when you and I were growing up, we used to watch cable TV and TBS, and we watch our cartoons. And every once in a while, the Braves would come on and bump off our cartoons or our children's programming, and it make me upset. It's the only reason. All right, man. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this episode of Cold Brew?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for downloading yet again another Cold Brew podcast. I am Greg. He is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we'd like to wish you cheers.
Until next time.